Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Man, I swear to God, sometimes I wish you people could hear what happens before the show goes on the air. Conversations that we have sometimes pale in comparison to what we talk to on the air. But I will tell you, we'll do our best to provide you equal quality content.
I was recording it, and I'll play it later as part of the show notes.
Paul is always recording it. Paul Roberts, by the way, which sounds like a very, you know, benign name.
milk toast, white bread, Midwestern name,
you know. I think he has some security clearance with the government, because nobody should own this much equipment. Listening devices, recording equipment.
I got stuff.
So if anybody has any background on Paul Roberts, R-O-B.
Nobody has that kind of name. That's like, you know, Joe Smith. That's just my nom de guerre, my nom de radio.
Joe Smith, I think, is from Utah. You're from Michigan.
Well, that's right.
But anyway, it is interesting. We're talking about just relevance, and we're talking about social media and influencers and things like that. We'll touch a little bit on that. I think it's an appropriate subject. We'll bring it up a little bit. We usually don't.
And how do you get your message across today in a world right. where traditional media has shrunk, right. celebrities don't matter what they do, right. how do you, like this gentleman's service and other services that come in here, how do you tell the story?
Well, and how do you do it not only to be relevant and competitive, but also that the time, energy that you spend, the resources that you spend, be it time only, be it financial, be it a combination, how is that actually built into a foundation that you can build something on, so that 2 years from now you're not chasing the latest trend to stay relevant? You're actually establishing your own voice.
You mean people like a Dave Welch at Bespoke, who's built such an influence community here in Orange County, been on your show a number of times, but
you can't do it has to be strategic. It cannot be accidental. I started the day off by basically doing a posting about the importance of strategy. Okay. And game strategy is something I always go back to. People go, well, yeah, why you go game strategy? I think part of it is because I have a lot of misspent years in my youth, where I played a lot of arcade games and computer and every platform that, you know, Sega. Do you remember Sega? Sega had a platform, people. Yeah, Nintendo is not the only platform out there. Anyway, and that's probably somewhere in my parents' house still. But the point of it is, strategy is important. And strategy is not a ready to wear off the rack thing. If you're really going to do this correctly, and a lot of consultants do not. Okay, people who know me know that I have a love hate relationship with consultants, because I am one. But basically, in some cases, I wouldn't call a particular person a consultant. I call them a consultant, C-O-N being the emphasis on the word. Okay, because what happens is they basically provide a boilerplate and then change a couple of pages of content. What we're talking about here, and it will reflect in what we're about talking about, because Paul's like, how are you going to tie this to the subject?
I have no
idea.
Every
single time, right? He does that, right?
Show's over. The guest didn't even get a chance to talk here.
Because even in this, in every product and service, in everything that you basically have, especially when you have a elective reason to do it.
A customized solution.
It's not a need. It's not a necessity, I should say. It's something that you are electing to do, be it medical services, spa treatments, be it, you know, buying a very beautiful custom tailored suit or sport coat from Dave. The people providing those services have to be providing you something that is authentic. And if they're smart, they will build their business on that authentic voice.
No, they get a template. They put it up on YouTube.
You know what happens with that?
They buy a Yellow Page ad, and the business comes in.
It's inevitable. You will fall victim to a price competition. It's a slippery slope. The guy down the street that does theirs exactly the same way, that drops their price, now you're going to basically go into this. And you mark my words. You look around. Businesses that are product or service oriented, regardless what it is, will always go into that situation, whether it's an expensive luxury car, whether it's whatever, solar system on your house.
Or if it's what your guest does, let's bring them in.
So the business world today, okay?
He still won't bring him in.
The business world today, and for especially somebody who is a business or establishing a business, is a hair-raising experience.
Oh, that's where he was trying to go. I see. Okay. He had to get that line in here first.
It's a hair-raising experience. And I told people who were following me on social media today that we are going to have a hair-raising experience today. So without further ado, and on that note, I would like to introduce Dr. Peter. And he is here representing StrandMD, who he is a partner. And StrandMD basically is advanced hair technology. So there's the connection, why we are here. But with that all being said, because it is probably also an industry that gets a lot of, I know what that is. And, you know, I mean, anybody who's watching us on camera and, you know, Paul, can you just throw yourself in front of the camera for a minute because he's usually hiding, okay? We don't necessarily have a clue what we're talking about when it comes to hair.
Lots of hair.
Yeah,
okay?
You too, though.
No. All right? And I'll spare you where else it's growing, out of my ears now. And out of my nose.
Me too.
But the truth is, and thank you so much for sending me your information, okay? The truth is that a lot of people, starting at even almost like normal, at the age of 35, start to suffer, right? At the age of 50, it's not necessarily just
men and women.
It's not just
hair
men
loss,
that are affected, right?
No, not at all.
So
we got to get your guessing much closer to the mic, though.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. Peter, start off with that, and then you know, just a little background on the condition out there, right? And then give us a little background on yourself. Like, how did you find yourself in this? Have you always been involved in this? Is this something that we always delve there if you're comfortable with it? Because I always feel that my guests have a personal connection with what they do.
Sure.
Especially as they are maybe a little bit older,
that
more
genuine,
seasoned,
authentic
they're actually
angle
putting their
here.
Energy and effort into something that has a meaning for them. More than just, oh, that's what I'm doing, 9 to 5. So, Mike is yours, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you for the introduction. And so it does have a tremendous personal, actually, effect for me because I myself experienced that hair loss.
Okay. So you're not just a partner.
No, not at all. It's almost like Hair Club for Men, right? I'm not sure if that exists anymore.
No.
But... with that being said, I started an aesthetic practice in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills a while ago where I would do a lot of aesthetic work. And
for people who don't know that, Peter, just share a little bit what that is.
Pretty much it's Botox, filler, some non-surgical techniques, and, you know, creating a more youthful appearance for mainly on the face, neck, hands. And I did pretty well with that.
Mm-hmm.
And... In seeing that, I noticed a lot of patients, when they wanted to look younger, one of the things that would really improve that look for them and improve their confidence was their hair. And
that's very true.
And I know that personally because I lost my hair by the time I was 32.
Now, we will talk a little bit more about this, but is this something that is family history of hair loss?
For me, yes. So a lot of hair loss, you know, from men is typically family history.
Well, my grandfather on my mother's side, and they say, you know, you take on my mother has a full head of hair, but my grandfather on my mother's side, and my grandmother on my mother's side always had, you know, God rest her soul, and even the day that she died, she had a full hair of coiffed hair. I mean, the woman never had a hair out of place, right? Or a cigarette not hanging on her mouth. But I love my grandma to death. My grandfather on my mother's side was bald as a cue ball. I never knew him without not having hair. So,
sure. No,
so,
you know, genetics are really weird, right? So sometimes it translates into the offspring and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was on your mother's side, the father's side, it doesn't matter anymore. It's irrelevant anymore.
Thank you.
And also, it's not just genetics anymore because we're dealing with a different environment.
Mm.
So the environment that we're living in today is very different than what your great-grandparents were living in.
Well, your care too, right? I mean, if you grew up doing certain things to your hair that maybe basically subjected it to a lot of stress.
Absolutely.
So in your own personal experience, share a little bit more about that.
So, and that's why I went into hair restoration, being that it really, a lot of my male patients and just wanted to look naturally younger.
Yeah.
In particular, it has to do with this channel and why I came here, because a lot of them are businessmen.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them felt like, you know, the millennials are taking over and they were being, you know, passed by because they weren't as relevant.
We're a very visual society.
Optics
are very important
in that work, and that's why
right
they
or
did
wrong,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why they did it.
Yeah.
And so they came in, you know, for Botox and filler, but most of them are like, you know, what can I do to prevent hair loss?
Right.
And, you know, at that point in time, all I had to give them was Propecia and other things. So I decided that I would go into research.
Somebody wants to know, a Twitter question, is that part of your personal brand? That's everybody wants to see your personal brand. In a world where my father grew up, everybody tried to fit in and wear a gray flannel suit or a blue suit if it was IBM. Now you have to somehow stand out. Well, and you don't want to stand up for the wrong reasons. You're the bald guy. You're the fat guy.
Well,
you're the
frumpy guy. I'm interested in hearing what you have. What's your answer to that one? Is it very much part of your persona?
Personal brand?
I think most people want a personal brand. It's no longer being part of the norm.
Well, if you have a Facebook profile page, you're a brand.
No, absolutely, you are. And also, people want to be the best that they can be of themselves.
Yeah.
And they you know, they want to, you know, stop time, right? And they want to be more relevant within society, within sports, within their work, within their family, within their sex life, within anything, right?
Well, and we touched on it a little bit, but, you know, this is not even age related. Like, this is a show about aging a lot of times, but we're talking about people that are suffering from hair loss, whether it's hereditary or not, you know, maybe as early as in their 30s. So they may be in a work environment where they're not necessarily, you know, the older seasoned executive that's competing with the young bucks that are coming in,
sure.
They may be in that same pool, but they're basically looked over maybe unconsciously or whatever in the course of a raise or a promotion. Visuals, like it or not, optics, like it or not, in today's society, and it has been for a very long time, are critical. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't pull off bold and powerful. Look at, you know, who am I thinking about? Like Jason Statham. Look at Vin Diesel. Okay, but you gotta own it, and it's part of your brand. Most people are not Jason Statham and Vin Diesel. Most people are somewhat vain, somewhat self-conscious about the lack of hair, especially if you've had it.
Absolutely, because you're losing it.
You're
right?
Losing it. Yeah.
It's something you're losing, and that's the main issue.
Right.
I see a lot of 30-year-olds and 35-year-olds, and for them, it's trying to prevent the loss.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of things for that, actually. And we have some new novel treatments that are not offered anywhere else, only with the exception of Germany, that it's offered.
So what happened when you went on your sort of journey of discovery and research on this?
So when I researched it, I realized, first and foremost, more women are suffering with it than I ever imagined. And so with that being said, we actually even started a whole new product line for women.
Okay.
And we hired a chemist, and we're working with two different companies and one educational facility right now for a product that we're buying the options to.
What when you say product line, what is in that product line? Just generally.
So generally in that product line for prevention of hair loss, we have things that inhibit DHT.
Okay.
And we have also things that inhibit stress hormones, such as cortisol. And we have a probiotic.
And why do you need to inhibit those?
Because everything is multifactorial. It's not necessarily one thing.
Okay.
So you may have the gene for something, but whether you express that gene, it's sensitive to what's happening in the environment of your scalp,
right?
So if your scalp doesn't have the right pH,
mm-hmm.
if your scalp doesn't have the right microbiomes,
mm-hmm.
if your scalp is under a lot of stress with a high elevated cortisol level,
mm-hmm.
if you have if you're genetically prone to DHT sensitivity and you have a lot of DHT within your scalp,
and DHT is what?
It's dihydrotestosterone.
Okay.
It's an androgen. If you have a lot of that there, it's going to cause miniaturization of that hair follicle,
mm-hmm.
and eventually it's going to cause the shift of that hair follicle not only not to grow any longer, but actually to fall out and not ever grow again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's really, really important in deciding how to treat a patient.
Okay. Well, Paul will get that if people are listening to the phone. Phones are ringing. People want to know from Peter what's going on.
All right. Come on. Bring it on.
Okay.
Bring it on.
So Paul will come in and basically take that. Oh, so sounds like somebody picked it up. Okay, cool. So again, people, if you're interested, do contact us at OC Talk Radio with any questions for Peter now or later. So what do you say to the person that says, yeah, you know what, I've heard all of this before.
Right.
Yeah, you know, hair club for men. I'm also a client. I'm not just the owner. And then you know, all the, what do they call them? Cottage remedies, the shampoos, wear a friggin' thing on my head that's plastic. Right. You know, all this stuff, right? Light. I mean, all you have to do is just research on the internet and see how many kooky, crazy ideas, right? So what do you say to people that are basically disenchanted, that they basically have seen this? What is there an importance to when you catch this?
Well, obviously, you want to catch it as early as you can.
You know what I mean?
Right. So in general, you want to catch it as early as you can, and you want to be able to prevent hair loss. And in doing so, there are some great medications that you can take to do that.
And what are some of the symptoms, or I should say signs, that if you are trying to catch it?
So, I mean, you would know. People who have hair loss know. And they see in their pictures, and they see that initially in men, it goes out in the temples, and it goes progressively back into the crown, right? People know. And they know, that, oh, my grandfather looked like that, my father looked like that. It's not rocket science to understand that they're losing hair.
So the hair's falling out. Okay, what do you say to people that their hair is so short, they've got a bald spot? I mean, is it natural to lose hair?
It is natural to lose hair,
okay.
Right? But it's not, and it's natural that people lose hair all the time.
Yeah.
But the point is, do you want to lose that hair, and do you want to go bald? Bald is beautiful, actually.
Right.
But it's not necessarily, you have options, right? So why not try to have what you have and keep what you have? And if you want to shave your head,
right,
you can shave your head anytime you want, as long as those follicles are still there.
Right. Well, and similarly with women, I've been trying to get this particular lady on that basically there's a trend to basically not coloring their hair.
Right.
And to wear it very proudly. And I think it's actually very, very lovely for, again, it's owning it. It's being in your own space, in your own sense of confidence that this is who I am and I'm proud of who I am. In some cases, for men, I think that is a hard one. When you lose your hair and you're not kind of, like to your point, you're not ready to not have it. And so it's not so much about the fact that naturally people lose their hair, but the fact that, you know, if you're losing it too fast, if you don't want to lose it, that there are things that you can do.
Absolutely.
Right?
And, you know, I think a lot of men are like, well, you know, I'm just going to shave it all the time. It's a lot easier.
Right.
And they realize that that's not the case.
Right.
And
it's not easy to, no.
No.
Anybody who's done that.
No. And then also mostly a lot of men also feel, oh my God, it's a stigma that I'm having a transplant.
Yeah.
And the person that actually told me to go ahead and do it myself was my wife.
Okay.
And so, you know, that gave me the confidence that, oh, well, it's not another plastic surgery. Although I'm in the field of aesthetics, I don't even do Botox and filler on myself.
Right.
Right? And so that whole stigma is gone. So people are doing it. The results are supernatural, whether I do it or other people do it. The technology is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more affordable.
Uh-huh.
And it really helps men, when you look in the mirror, right? And for me, that was the main issue.
Right.
When I was at Equinox looking in the mirror and, next to a 25-year-old at Equinox and he was gelling his hair back and he had all that great hair.
Right.
And I had like nothing. I had like a U-shaped spot of baldness. Uh-huh. I could do nothing with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you know, I want that.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't I get that? And I did.
And to your point, I think the technology today, I mean, I have this sort of initial reaction whenever I hear about hair transplant, I'm like, oh, the line.
Yeah.
You know, you it's like you sowed a field.
Sure.
Right? The whole techniques have changed. The naturalness of the procedure and how it's actually applied, has completely changed. I think it is interesting that we have that as we get older. You know, it's like, you know, nobody says anything about you going in and getting your eyes corrected.
No one does.
Right?
No one does.
And it's the same situation. Like, you're wearing glasses. I look like a little older. Are you comfortable with it? And when they're readers, I'm okay. But then when I'm reading them more often, wearing them more often, then I've crossed the line. I really need to go and do something about this. So, excuse me. So How did you then, after you did all your research, how did you tell us a little bit about a StrandMD?
So, in doing all that research, I started...
And let's give people, Peter, let's give people that are listening the website so they can follow up a little bit. What's your website for StrandMD?
It's www.strandmd.com.
StrandMD.com. Okay, yes. Go ahead. So how do you come up with StrandMD?
So, doing my research, I was working in a laboratory, and I decided that in order to give the best impact on in a patient is actually to do the transplant. Because you do the transplant, you're in one day, and after a day procedure, 6 to 9 months later, you have a full set of hair.
Okay.
And so I went and I trained in that and got my training as part of that. And then I decided that I wanted to take this and actually implement it in multiple cities throughout California. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, I wanted to become a partner with a plastic surgeon who has the same vision of how hair is important and also has the same eye of how to create a natural hairline that fits to the patient. Right? Because when you go and
you're custom-tailing it to the person.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
It's not a one-size-fits-all.
No. And then also, someone who's not, who understands how many grafts to put and how to take the time so that you don't over-harvest the graft from a patient, so that 10 years down the line, if they're starting early, they have additional donor material to add more, because they never lose the hair that I implant, but they lose the other hair that was there.
So where do you get the hair?
From the back of the head.
Okay.
And there's one area in which really that area is genetically prone not to fall out. It's not sensitive to DHT.
So you're transplanting hair from the actual person.
Yes, from that person.
And it's hair that's actually stronger strain almost, right?
Absolutely. It's stronger. It's thicker. The quality is actually a little bit different as well.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it's sometimes nice to understand how that quality of hair grows so that you know how to do additional transplants 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line as a patient.
And how often do you harvest?
No, once. Once. You could get great. I mean, it just depends how bald the person is, right? And how many grafts I need to put.
Right.
So what we do is we take in one individual hair, we core one out, and as we take the number of hairs that we feel is necessary, that's safe enough to take out and also not deplete the site, and how much the patient needs, whether it be in the front or in the crowd or in the mid portion, we go and take a look at how many hairs are actually within that follicle.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is sometimes we actually divide those hairs so that we have more singlets as opposed to triplets and quadruplets so that we could create a really natural hairline that no one would ever tell you've had a hair transplant. And so that's it's very important to do that. And we do some other things to it as well.
How long of a procedure is it in a typical situation? Obviously, somebody may be more bold or whatever.
On a typical one, if they're just doing, let's say, the temples, it's maybe a 5-hour procedure, 4-hour procedure.
Okay.
If we're doing the whole head.
That's the harvesting and the
implantation.
Okay.
Yeah. And the patient goes home the same day. I just give them Tylenol, so it's not painful. That's really important. That's what everyone asks, how painful is it?
Yeah.
It's not painful. We do a specific block that blocks the pain, and we do local lidocaine in the area.
Right.
And they go home. I just tell them to relax for 2 days. They really can't be out for 2 days so much.
Just sensitivity of the skin?
And also, and I don't want them to get rid of the transplant that I just put in. I don't want them touching that transplant for 2 days.
Yeah.
After 2 days, they start washing their hair. They start putting a hat on. After a week or so, they do anything to the hair as they like.
And the hair is growing naturally at that point?
So the hair usually stays for the first month or so. After a month, that hair that we implant actually falls out because it goes into a dormant state.
Okay.
And when it falls out, around 3 to 6 to 9 months later, depending on the patient, that hair grows back. And by 9 months, that hair has fully grown back to a length that you can see and it's appreciable. What we do, we also do two types of things, PRP, which other people also do, not everyone, but some other people
What
do.
Is PRP?
That's where we take your own blood and we spin it down and we take the growth factors in and around the platelets. And we infuse that with the transplant so you don't have shock loss. And also that a lot of times with some of my patients, they actually don't go into the dormant phase because of that PRP.
Okay.
So that hair actually stays.
It stays.
The other thing that we do, we've started to do now is, and we're the only one that I know of that does in the United States, is we implement some cytokine therapy, which is very different. And that's an anti-inflammatory therapy that really helps in terms of the inflammation. Inflammation in the scalp for hair or in your body in general
is not a good thing.
Is the biggest killer of everything.
Right.
Whenever you can stop inflammation, that's where you know that's 90% of the battle.
So, Peter, we've got a few more minutes here, but I just so where how we already gave out the website strandmd.com. You can find out more information about it. Where are you? Are you set up in Orange County yet? I know when we first
met.
Okay.
We are. My partner is Dr. Mark Anton, amazing plastic surgeon, does amazing facelifts.
Yeah.
And it's right here in Newport Beach by Hogg Hospital.
Okay.
And we were established there. We have a location in Beverly Hills as well. On Bedford Drive, and we'd love to see you. Well, and if anyone wants to come, I'm happy to see them free of charge. They come in and we'll give them a consultation.
So you heard it here, guys and ladies. If you're interested, complimentary here by Dr. Peter, it's basically just said, go to StrandMD, contact him, or you can contact us here at the station or on the Rad Life, and we'll pass on that information and put you guys in touch. Last question, how from your with your current practice on this particular issue, what would you say is your percentile for men and women? I'm just curious because I'm curious where the reach is. Like, is there, do you have more of a male population that you're treating right now? Or
yeah, so this is so it's kind of skewed because in Newport we have half men and women.
Just 50-50.
Yeah, because my partner's practice is a plastic surgery practice, so it funnels in a lot of women because 90% of his current clients are women.
This is just another service or another treatment that they basically can offer.
Okay. Right. And not necessarily just the transplantation, but also the PRP that we do, which is very different than what some other people do, and the cytokine therapy, in which we're doing a research study on.
Right.
So we get a lot of that. But in Beverly Hills, it's 90% men, but also I focus mainly on men in terms of creating a natural hairline and our reach. You know, when we went to actually market ourselves in Beverly Hills for this product, we went into the Emmys and the Emmys vault. And so our reach is more so towards men who are in that area of Beverly Hills.
Well, I appreciate you being here, Peter. I really do. I think it's a very interesting topic. I know I learned a lot today. And again, if anybody's interested in finding out more about Dr. Peter or Dr. Anton or their practice here in Newport Beach, please go to Strand, strandmd.com and find out more or contact us here on The Rad Life, and I would love to put you guys together. It's definitely something, when I looked at the statistics and the numbers, this affects a lot more people than I thought, and I'm glad that there is there's a place down the street, literally, and somebody who's looking at this thing differently from what I thought was out there. I definitely will definitely keep it in mind for people I know. There's one gentleman I already know that probably will put you in touch with.
Okay, great.
So thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time. I knew you came down from LA today to be on the show. I really appreciate that, Peter.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Great seeing you
again. And see everybody next week. Join us again for another episode of The Rad Life on Wednesdays, 12 to 1, right here on OC Talk Radio. The Rad Life is brought to you by Golden State Media Group.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.